Amen. Amen. Good morning. Good morning. Praise the Lord, our great God and Savior. He's worthy of our praise. And that's why we've come today to give him praise, give him the honor, give him the glory that he and he alone is rightfully due. I'm here to introduce our speaker for today, although he's not a stranger. Before he comes, Sister Bradley's going to come and render a song before he comes, but I wanted to introduce him now so that he'll be ready to go once she gets done. But as stated, Pastor Charles Bradley and I go way back to our days at Grace together, and we've been praying for one another, holding each other up ever since that point in time. So I'm grateful for him and the friendship, the encouragement, and the challenge, too, that he brings to my life. He's pastor of the Midwest Baptist Church, and he and some of his people have come over today for this special occasion, which is to install our deacons who have gone through the fire, and they have done what they have needed to do over these last couple of years, and not just the last couple of years, but it's over their lifespan. But I'll say a little bit more about that later on. But Pastor Bradley will come and bring us the message for today. Sister Bradley will come at this time. She'll render a song, and then after she's done, Pastor Charles Bradley will come and bring us the message for this morning. Amen.
Praise the Lord. I want to say thank you, Pastor, for having my husband and myself here to celebrate this.
Amen.
This
Amen.
Is a wonderful occasion, and I thank God for it. The more that we can get to come to God, the pleaser God is with us. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Seen so many of y'all in so long, but you know what? The faces are still the same. And seem like to me you still got that same attitude. And I thank God for that. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God provides. God will provide.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Amen. Always does.
Let the church say amen.
Amen.
The first thing I want to tell you is I'm not a guest. I'm at home. My dear friend and brother mentioned a minute or two ago that we've been on the same battlefield for a long time. And we plan to stay there until the Lord takes us home. Amen. And since I'll be speaking from the passage that was your responsive reading. So what I will do here is, if you will, let's bow our heads and ask the Lord to bless our time together. Amen. Merciful Father, once again, we come before your presence, thanking you for the privilege of prayer. Father, we thank you for providing all that we need. Whenever a doubt tries to enter our heart, I always remember that you provide. I always remember that there's nothing too hard for you to do. Now, Father, we ask that you bless our time together. Bless these brothers who will be ordained today. And I ask that you would just continue to strengthen them and their wives in each and everything that you have called for them to do. Father, we thank you for this. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. This passage that we read in our responsive reading today discusses the second office of the church. The first office was the pastor. The second office is the church itself, is the deacon of the church. The office of the deacon is so important that the qualifications required of them is just as demanding and just as high as it is of the minister or the bishop. In this day and time, when worldliness, immorality, lawlessness are running rampant, the qualifications of the deacons need to be studied, heeded, and guarded ever so diligently. Now, I'm going to use one of Pastor Banks' phrases. I ain't going to hold you long. First of all, we found in that passage that we read a while ago, personal qualifications of the deacons. Deacons must be qualified. They must meet some personal qualifications. And verse 8, in 1 Timothy 3:8, it says, likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, and that is money. Don't be greedy for money. Deacons must be grave, it says in verse 8, means that they must be serious. They must be honorable. They must be worthy, revered, highly respected, and noble. It is being serious-minded, and it's the very opposite of being flippant. It's the very opposite of being one that dishonors oneself. One of being shallow by being over-talkative. You know, sometimes we can talk too much. The other thing is of having little respect because one is not of grave or serious enough in their actions and in their thoughts. And of having a surface religion only. Religion has to be something more than surface. It comes from within. However, note that this does not mean that the deacon has to walk around with a long face, never smiling, never joking, having fun. It simply means that he is serious-minded and committed to Jesus Christ and the mission of the church where the Lord has placed him. The mission of reaching the lost and meeting the needs of those who are desperate in the world. You know, I like to tell people all of the time, if you say that you're in church and you are a Christian, if you're not reaching the lost, you're not doing your job. We must make sure that we are reaching the lost. The other thing here, when we look at this thing here, deacons must not be double-tongued is the same thing, is the second saying here. What is it saying? Don't go tale-bearing. Don't gossip. Don't say one thing to me, and then you find another person and you say something different. That's not the way you do that. Because, you know, you won't earn the rewards that is for a deacon, as we'll look at the end of this passage. Don't say one thing to one person face and something else to another. No more disruptive, there's no more descriptive word could be chosen than double tongue. The double tongue is one that you must avoid. Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. Amen. As deacons minister through the visitation that is going from house to house, because you're to help the pastor. Because there's always someone have some need of something. Well, they may be sick, they may have other needs. Deacons, if you're like at Midwest here, we kind of give the deacons charge over certain families. You're supposed to know what's happening with that family. Sometimes what we do is the deacon is often tempted to gossip or sometimes tempted to evade something with smooth talk. That's no good. Therefore, he must be a man of integrity, a man who speaks straight truth, a man who is honest as the day is long. I'm sure you've heard that phrase before. The other thing, deacons must not be given to much wine. Don't be a drunkard. And if you don't know where to find a good passage for that, look in Proverbs chapter 23. That fellow got so drunk, he got beat up and didn't know who was beating him. So you need to make sure you get that. Now, not only are deacons supposed to have some personal qualifications, he's supposed to have some spiritual qualifications. Verse 9 and 10 says, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved. Then let him use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. You know what that means? You should live your life in such a way where no one will be able to point a finger at you and it stick, or to accuse you of something and it sticks. You're called to a very high position. The other thing here, when we look at this, deacons must hold to the mystery of the faith and hold it in a good conscience. The mystery of the faith is found in verse 16. Here's what it talks about. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested or revealed in the flesh, justified or vindicated in the spirit, seen of the angels, preached or proclaimed unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, And thank God he's received on into glory. Thank God for Jesus who came down from heaven's glory and lived here for 33 long years. And then he allowed himself to be spit on by the creatures he created. And then he went to the cross. There's a song that I be singing in Midwest sometime, and I know you probably sang it here too, because Sister Henry used to sing it. Believe you me, he didn't come down from the cross. Amen. And the reason he didn't come down was to save me. Thank God for Jesus Christ. A deacon must believe in the incarnation. You can't say, well, I believe everything about that. I just don't believe in incarnation. Now, no, you got to believe in the incarnation. If you don't, then don't come forward today. In the glorious gospel that God has come to earth in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ to preach the love and salvation of God to man. In fact, note that of what this verse is saying. Deacons must hold within his own heart the mystery of the faith. You know what? If you ain't got that down good, just study. Keep on studying. We must study. He must possess and cling to it, and he must hold on to it in a good conscience. He must believe the whole gospel and not deceive the church by being hypocritical about his belief. Because, you know, somebody said, you may fool some of the people some of the time, but you can't fool all of the people all of the time, or something to that nature. You need to make sure that you stand firm in the faith. He must not accept the call to the office of a deacon and then shrink back on his duties. He must hold the mystery of the gospel of faith in a good conscience, and that is in sharing it faithfully with both believers and non-believers. I was asked a question one time. And the question was, when you get to heaven, will it be anybody there that says, I'm here because you took the time to witness to me? Will there be anybody? I'm telling you, if you're not witnessing, then there won't be. Deacons must first be proved, that is, tested, before they are called to the office of a deacon. And that's a very important thing. He must be blameless, and we looked at that. He must meet several family qualifications. Notice he had personal qualifications, he has spiritual qualifications, he has family qualifications. Deacons must meet these qualifications. Verse 11 and 12 says this: even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, but sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husband of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. Deacons must meet several family qualifications. The Greek of this verse allows this verse to refer to the women in the church. And some people want to say that serves as deaconess, but just being the deacon's wife, believe me, that's enough. Indeed, many translators have translated it that way. However, this position seems most likely for all the other verses of this passage deal with the deacons in the church. And notice this, it is much more likely and logical that Paul is talking about the wives of the deacons. The greater weight of the context certainly lies upon this position. You know, we seem to skip over that part. Like the wife doesn't, as long as the husband is being a deacon, she ain't got no part of that. No, You wrong as two left shoes. And if you got them on the wrong foot, pull them off and put them on the right one. This is not a good passage for a person to build on deaconesses. As a deacon visits and ministers to the women of the church, he needs his wife with him. Now, that's one of the things that I teach. Brothers, don't go ministering to the ladies of the church unless your wife is with you. Don't do it at the church. Don't do it at their house. You need to make sure that your wife is with you. The other thing here, when we look at this, a strong picture of marital and family love and commitment to Jesus Christ is needed. Therefore, the deacon's wife must be pretty near as strong as he is. She needs to make sure that she's standing there, because I'm going to tell you something. If he can try as hard as he can, but if his wife is not there with him and not supporting him, believe me, he won't make it far. The deacon must have a wife who is committed to the Lord and the church as he is. The wife of a deacon must be grave. That means she's serious-minded. Not only that, she's honorable. She's respected. Not only that, she's noble. The wife of a deacon must also not be a slanderer. Do you know who called a slanderer in the Bible? The devil. If you find yourself gossiping and carrying on, you playing right into the devil's trap. You don't need to be doing that. Make sure that you are not doing that kind of thing. As we look at these things, this wife, she's not to go about talking about others, stirring up mischief and disturbance. The wife of a deacon must be sober. You know, self-control. Keep your mouth under control. The wife of a deacon must also be faithful in all things, completely trustworthy, as a wife and a mother and as a believer. She has to be trustworthy in all of those things. I know y'all thought you would only hear about the deacons themselves, but you're going to hear about the wife too. Notice this. She must be faithful to the Lord in her personal devotion. She needs to be faithful to the Lord in her loyalty to the Lord, in her call as a wife and a mother. She needs to be faithful in her commitment to the church and its services and ministry, in her ministry in serving with her husband. The deacon must be, you know what he said, the husband of one wife. Somebody changed that and they said a one woman's man. And make sure that woman is your wife. Because you can be a one woman's man and ain't your wife. So we'll make sure that that's not the case. The deacon must have a controlled family and home. And finally, there are two results. The rewards of the deacon. This deacon, there are two rewards. Notice what it says in verse 13. For they that have used the office of the deacon well, purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. He gains a good decree, a good degree that is a great standing, and his testimony will be all right before God and man. Matter of fact, James 2:17 says, even so, if it hath not works, it's dead. If faith hath not work, it's dead. being alone. You need to make sure you practice what you preach. He gains great boldness and confidence and the security in the faith. He experiences more and more assurance and freedom in the Spirit of God. The two rewards that await him and his wife, who served well as deacons. First, they obtained for themselves a high standing. Literally refers to an elevated stand. Here it is used here metaphorically to speak of those who are a step above what they would normally be. Strive to always step up. Strive to always make sure that people know that you love the Lord. Strive to always let people know that you are serving the Lord. Work on that and you'll be all right. He experiences more and more assurance and freedom in the Spirit of God. Literally, they obtained for themselves this high standing. Literally refers to this elevated stance. Here it is used metaphorically, again, to speak of those who are a step above what they would normally be. In our vernacular, we might say that they are put on a pedestal. No, I put Jesus up there. I'm going to stand down here. That is not sinful pride, though. If you're steady reaching forward and steady reaching up, that's not spiritual pride. Keep on trying to do what the Lord Jesus Christ will do. That is not sinful pride, because the deacons who do not seek it, yet they are worthy of it. Isn't that all right? They don't seek it, but they are worthy of it. Thank God for that. Those who serve in humility will be exalted by God. Faithful deacons will be respected. They will be honored by those they serve. It is only by commanding such respect that deacons can be an example, since respected people are the ones that they emulate. You don't want to emulate somebody that's not respected. You want to do that with people who are respected. The other thing, second, they will gain great confidence in the faith in Jesus Christ. It is often used of boldness of speech. Don't ever be afraid to speak for the Lord. Don't apologize for the gospel. Say it as it needs to be said. Faith that is in Christ Jesus refers to the sphere of Christian truth. The family of believers needs that. Non-believers need that. Successful service breeds confidence and assurance among the people that they serve. Those who serve God well and see his power and grace operative in their lives, they will be destined for greater service. Amen? Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you once again for giving us this great opportunity to stand before you. Thank you for prayer. Thank you for all of the privileges that you've given us, each and every one. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I want to thank Pastor Bradley for bringing a solid word on qualifications of a deacon. And before we say anything else about that, I want to extend an invitation to anyone that might be here, might be listening in, who has not accepted our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you've never given your life to him, and giving your life to him means that you repent of your sin and repent of living life your own way, and you know that Jesus Christ came to give his life for you, and that he was the and is the only Savior of the world. No other name, the Bible says, under heaven and earth whereby men must be saved. We are saved by and only through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And he calls people not just to join a church, but to repent of their sin, of their rejection of him, and denying the fact that we need a Savior, that we can't get to heaven without him, and that we can't be forgiven and just have that sense of forgiveness and knowing that we are forgiven by God and accepted by Father God. We can't have that without accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So if there's never been a time in your life that you have given your life to Jesus Christ and said, believe what it said in John 3:16, that God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son. Jesus is God the Son, very God and very man. And when we're believing in him, we're believing in the person of Christ, and we're believing in the work of Jesus Christ. God the Son left his lofty place in heaven, came to this earth, and sacrificed himself on that cross and took on the punishment, really, of hell for us. He suffered where nobody really wants to go. He suffered that on the cross. And so when we repent and when we give our lives to him, then we're promised eternal life. That eternal life begins now. He transforms our lives. He changes us. Sinners become saints. And that's not perfection, but he has set us apart, sanctifying us, changing us, helping us to think differently and to consequently do life differently. If you want to give your life to Christ and receive forgiveness of all your sins from him and receive that peace that comes only through accepting Jesus Christ, you can simply say to him in belief that, Lord, I believe that I am a sinner. I know I'm a sinner, and I believe that you died on the cross for my sins, and I give my life to you. I repent of living life my way, and I want to submit myself to you and live the life that you have planned for me. If you say a simple prayer such as that and really believe in your heart, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, the Bible says that you will be saved. If you do that today, then the promise that we have in the Word of God is that you are forgiven and you become a member of the family of God. If you make a decision today to give your life to Christ, won't you do that now? And you can let me know. But also, there's some who are disconnected from the body of Christ. You may know Christ as Lord and Savior, but you may not have a church family. God has called us to be a part of the family of God as well. And if you don't have a church home, you can make the Agape Bible Fellowship Church or the Midwest Baptist Church your church family. If you make a decision to give your life to Christ or to become a member of the church, of the local body of Christ, then you can let us know. Send us an email at tbanks4323@gmail.com. tbanks4323@gmail.com. Or if you're here today, you can come forth and you can say, I want to give my life to Christ. Won't you give your life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? He'll forgive you. He accepts you. And he'll just pour out his love on you. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, our great God, our great Savior. You know, we need the gospel preached today. We need the truth of Scripture proclaimed today. And I thank Pastor Bradley that he stays true to the word. And, you know, he tells it straight, tells it like it is, no fluff, but just tells it like it is. And he's told us like it is today as far as the requirements, the qualifications of deacons. And today we want to install these brothers, finish up the journey that they've been on. Their journey as deacons is not finished. but the journey of them becoming and being recognized as deacons of the local body, that's what this journey has been about for them. And so we have two, Charles Peppers and Narvell Kimball, who have been on this journey. And when they started the journey a couple of years back, really, the Bible says you watch their lives. I've learned some things over the years. So you watch people and you listen and you observe and you see how they're serving and you watch their care. You look for their character and you look for those qualifications in them. And then the Bible says they can serve as deacons. And so these men have been under watch and they have had to go through some things in order to get to this point. On Friday, they stood before the council of men at Midwest Baptist, and they were grilled with questions and questions about the faith. You know, we want to find out what they know and what they believe, and they passed that test. And so now, Amen. Today, we come to present them to the church as men who we believe are ready to carry that role, to fulfill that role as bona fide deacons of the Agape Bible Fellowship Church. But even before that, bona fide deacons of God, because what we do it for the Lord first and foremost. That's what it's about. That's what we want to understand, whether it's from the pulpit and all across the congregation. It's about who we are in Christ and us serving Him. And so I'm going to ask these brothers and their wives to come forth, as Pastor Bradley has preached about. It's not just about them.
Amen.
It's about them and their wives. They're to be good family men, you know, men who have a strong connection with the woman who helps him to be who he is today. I always say a woman is a man's helpmate, according to Genesis. And really what that's talking about is us men, we couldn't be who we are without the wives that we have. That is, if you have a good wife. And these men have good wives. And so I know they've been helping them along the way. Amen. So what we're going to do now, we're going to walk through our installation service here. I'm going to ask Deacon Wiley. He will be presenting gifts in a bit, but I'm going to ask that Deacon Peppers and Deacon Kimball to come forth. And I'm going to ask the wives to come up, but don't put chairs up there for them. They're going to come forth. I just want everybody to see them. Put their chairs in the middle there, brothers. Front and center. Thank you. And we're going to ask them to stand here first, because when their wives come, I'm just going to pray with them and their wives. And then Pastor Bradley is going to come and give the charge. Sister Veronica Peppers.
Amen.
Amen. And Sister Kimball here. Amen. We appreciate you all helping these brothers along the way. I know you helped them along the way. I know, and I mean, just encouraging them. You know, a good wife encourages her man, and she helps him not to give up the ghost and just to go on. And she believes in him, and I know these sisters have believed in their men and believe that they can do what God has called them to do. So we want to acknowledge them because they need to keep walking with them. And keep encouraging them along the way and helping as we seek to serve the sisters in the church too. So let me just bow with them and just let us bow, and then we'll say a quick word of prayer with them. Father God, we're thankful today for your great love for us. We're thankful that you are still calling men, Lord. You're calling men to serve, oh God, to go the extra mile, to give themselves in humble service before you. And we thank you for these families that stand before us today. We're grateful for the Peppers, and we're grateful for the Kimballs, Lord God, and we're grateful for the wives to stand here with their husbands, Lord, and we know that they're proud of them, Lord, and we are proud of them, Lord, for their commitment to you. And so we ask that you would just strengthen them as husband and wife, Lord. We know that the enemy has a tendency to get real busy, Lord, when you take that extra step to just give your life in service to him. So I pray that you would put that hedge around them, Lord, and help them to seek you together. May these men lead their wives in prayer and in service to you. May they work together, Lord God, and build each other up and strengthen one another. Lord God, may their love for you grow together. May their love for one another grow together. Lord God, when times become difficult, when strength seems to be waning, Lord, we ask that you would help them to turn to you together, and that together they would find their strength in you. Together they would find their hope and peace and rest in you, Lord. So may they be greatly encouraged, Lord God, and may they be strong men and women of God who serve you together, Lord. And we are thankful, and we give you the praise for them in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you, wives. You can be seated. Don't leave your men yet. Yes, you can be seated right there. Pastor Bradley. Amen.
This is a sacred and a solemn time. It's nothing to be toyed with or played with. I'm going to ask Brother Peppers and Brother Kimball to come and kneel before the altar. Amen. And we're going to ask all ordained deacons and ministers to come and lay hands on these brothers as well. Pastor Banks has already prayed for them. And so as I give this charge, I'm going to ask you a series of questions. And your response should be, "I will, if you will." Amen. To God be the glory. Amen. Brother Peppers, Brother Kimball, will you promise that you will live your life in accordance with biblical standards, as I've enumerated today? Amen. Will you strive to manage your home and to lead your family as the spiritual head God has called you to be?
I will.
We read verse 12 earlier, but I'm going to read it again anyway. 1 Timothy 3:12, it says, "Let the deacons be the husband of one wife, ruling his children and their own houses well." So we need to make sure that we keep that in mind. Now, will you be ready to minister to the physical and spiritual needs of this church? Amen. Will you present yourself as necessary to comfort those in need? Will you seek to maintain harmony in the body and to be on the lookout for areas of conflict? Will you support the pastor, his God-given vision, his leadership style, and assist him as you are called to do? Will you strive to be an example, both in personal integrity and in Christian witness to this congregation?
I will.
I'd like to ask the two men once again, are you ready for this office of deacon? And you're going to give all you've got to help this congregation to grow, help the pastor in all of the things he's called you to help him with. Amen? Now unto you, the church. You have selected these men as deacons, and they have been examined and approved by the eldership. We are in agreement that these men have been called to serve as deacons at Agape Bible Fellowship. I ask you this question: will you support them and pray for them daily?
Amen.
Amen. Will you pray for these men and their families, asking God to protect them and to care for them, both physically and spiritually?
Amen.
Will you observe their lives, both as examples of Christian living and as those who would guard them to keep them from stumbling?
Amen.
Will you encourage them and their families, knowing that the ministry to which they have been called will be and bring some trying times, and we can expect that? Pray for them. They need your prayers.
Amen.
Pray for your pastor. He needs your prayers.
Amen.
And if there's any other thing that maybe I didn't cover, I know Pastor Banks will. I know this brother. Oh, I tell you, we go from a long way back. We were at Grace together. I ministered with them in Chicago as well as time and time again. He's been a great brother. And as he always said, if it's anybody I got to be in the foxhole with, it's this brother right here. Amen. I'll be in the foxhole with him. Amen?
Amen.
Pastor Bain. Let's bow our heads in prayer once again. Merciful Father, once again, we ask that you would touch these brothers and their wives, their family, and even extended family. We ask that you would keep them strong, for you have said in your word, Lord, that without you, they can do nothing. Help them to be strong, to stand on your promises. Because, Lord, we know that your promises are the only things that really count. Help them to stand on your word, because we know that that's the only truth we have. Help us to do all that you have called each and every one of us to do. And, Lord, bless their wives. Help them to grow stronger and stronger and stronger. Because, Lord, they'll need to be strong as well. Because we know that there are times you even speak to our wives, to us. Help us to hear you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor Banks.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. And to me, a great blessing is to have strong men in the Lord. Amen. Amen. In a day when women, and I say it all the time, I love my sisters in Christ, but God has called men to lead. And when we have strong men who are willing to be strong spiritual leaders, I say praise the Lord.
Amen. You know,
for that, because a strong man makes for a strong home.
Amen.
And a strong home makes for a strong neighborhood and community and world. So we're looking for strong men of God.
Amen.
And who stand on the word of God. So I thank God for these men. I just want to present them with their certificates of ordination. Charles Peppers is ordained this March 27th as a deacon of the Agape Bible Fellowship Church. Narvell Kimball is ordained this March 27th as a deacon of the Agape Bible Fellowship Church of the Lord First. Amen, amen, amen. We'll have remarks by our chairman of the deacon ministry, Deacon... Deacon Wiley will come give a few remarks and present these brothers with some gifts. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for these brothers. I'm really grateful for them. And one thing I can say about both of them is to be greeted every morning at the door. And the first question out there, Miles, is there anything that we can do?
Amen.
That's a blessing.
Amen.
They don't treat me just because I'm younger. That, you know, I'm the little brother, but there's a great deal of respect we have for one another. And today, I'm honored to work with you all. That we would be side by side to do all that we have to do to continue to be an effective church here, the Agape Bible Fellowship Church.
Amen.
And that your lives reflect the honor that was bestowed on you two. And to your wives, God bless you. We do have a couple of gifts today, and it's a pleasure to be able to share these with you all. Really grateful for you all and praying that God will continue to strengthen you for this walk, because this journey is very important.
Mm-hmm.
And what has been established in our meetings is that we are not deacons looking for elevation to another position, but this is an elevation, and God has blessed us to have you two strong, good-hearted brothers.
Amen.
On this team. And if y'all don't mind giving me some help applauding for them right now.
Amen.
On behalf of Pastor Banks and the entire Agape Bible family, we want to offer these gifts for you. They're your books to kind of help you with your praying in life. And
Amen.
When you have your families that we are have been assigned to, and we have to go out and administer communion, you're all prepared. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. We want to give these brothers, and I thought it would be fitting if we gave them and their wives the right hand of fellowship. I know we do that usually just when people join the church, get baptized, and become members of the church, but I want everybody to have an opportunity to come around and just congratulate these brothers as they stand here in front. Come on up, wives. Amen.
Leaning on the everlasting arms.
Amen. 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 Won't you stand with me? Won't you stand with me for our benediction? God, who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly beyond all that we can ask or imagine, to him and him alone be glory and honor, dominion and power, henceforth, now and forevermore. Let the Church of Jesus Christ together sing.